Shut a man open up shop singing, oh, no, that's a rough rider's roll. I'm going down, down, baby, your street in a Range Rover street, sweep a baby cock, ready to let it. Third and long, listeners, we're back.
Episode 8.
We're early this week.
We are early. It's a Monday evening
this week. I had to, like, think about it. Like, I don't even know if we have stats out there to talk about this.
We don't. We have Tipton stats. I did look. Did you see any Northeast stats from against West Liberty?
I did.
Are those loaded? Okay.
Yeah, I believe they're there.
Okay.
So, last Friday night, you were not there.
I was not there. I went up to... to watch South Hardin get beat by the number one team in Class 1A Grundy Center.
Was it deserving number one, or is it just South Hardin didn't play well?
I would say South Hardin didn't play well, but Grundy Center's legit. There's a reason it's a 32-game win streak.
And this is 1A, right?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
So Grundy Center will beat Regina is what you're saying.
I would say Grundy Center will beat anyone they come up against if they play like they played against South Hardin. They were kind of unstoppable.
Grundy Center is a they've been 2A for a while, right? So they must have
just dropped down.
Yeah. So that's always that's the time to roll when you drop down that class. Which I think Tipton we're moving there. We're moving in that direction. Eventually we'll be a 1A program based off the enrollment numbers, but
I think you're right.
This will be an early podcast. It'll be a quick podcast because obviously the result on Friday night I was there. It was not the result that I think the players, coaches, and the fans wanted to see. I know the players, you could tell they were disappointed. You know, it just did not go the way we wanted to. In fact, it felt very similar to the West Liberty game in that
Yes. We
just never could get our feet underneath of us where we're kind of rolling. We got down to that 14-0 start. The game started off, you know, it was a good energy. They had a little tailgate beforehand.
Oh, did they really?
It was actually really nice. So, not Fidelity, Citizens Bank.
Oh, sure.
They have
a branch in Anamosa and a branch here in Tipton.
Yeah, so they put Nick Weirs is the branch manager for both. And so he kind of started this, and they have a traveling trophy for both of them, which it's...
I like that.
Goes way back. And so they did hot dogs and drink and chips and stuff free, so everyone got to go there.
Realistically, I know it wasn't a close game, but this is a rivalry game.
Absolutely.
It's considered, I think, Anamosa now holds the lead 34-32 and 1 or something like that. So it's actually been a fairly evenly matched
historically. Anamosa is a team that we like to play. When the Scran brothers are out of there, we like to play them.
Right,
but unfortunately, we ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw. The football field, it's on a really cool landscape. It's got a little hill up behind it. You've been there before.
Yep.
But the actual football field itself, I don't know if they've been playing there. There's been a lot of stuff going on
there. Was there a horse show on there?
I think there
earlier?
Was some shot put throwing onto it. It was rough. It was.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best field conditions. Some footing issues. The one thing I saw that was extremely unique is... they had two concession stands, one on the visitor side and one on the home side.
Well, you don't want to intermingle. You don't want to fight.
It was great, yeah. It was great. I didn't have to go very far. Popcorn was terrible.
I was going to say, our side probably just had popcorn and water.
Yeah.
And then the other side actually had food.
Yeah, they... we can't even find enough volunteers to run ours. Can you imagine trying to find... two. Hey, do you want to go run the visitor...
That's impressive. Concession. That is impressive.
So, yeah, it was... It started the game started off. We received the kick, went 3-and-out, which you know that's fine. We go to punt. We had a holding call with a huge return, got it down to the 20, and then the holding call moved it up. So they were basically the game started off essentially with them getting it down to the 15-yard line. Couple Scran runs. They ran a little 5-yard out, 7-0. And so you start off in that hole. And you automatically kind of just, you could see the energy left.
It's like, oh, we're going here again.
Yes.
Oh, this is how it's
felt
happening.
Like the last few weeks, just you felt like we just didn't get into that quick start where the momentum was ours.
Right.
And we got down 14-0. It was the Scran show. He started running through guys. I thought, this could get ugly pretty quick. And fortunately, we had a big interception.
Jason Johnson.
He had two picks on the night.
Yeah, showed up to play.
He had an interception, took it back almost to the house, got caught down to the 11-yard line, and we punched it in. which brought it to a 14-7 game. It kind of felt like we were
absolutely back
right there. Back into
which is what a big turnover can do in any game. A big turnover makes all the difference.
Yep. And then from there, it kind of went downhill pretty quick. It was kind of, it reminded me honestly of the Iowa Hawkeye game against Ohio State. We we kind of kept us in. You kind of felt like there was some momentum there,
and then you're out of it.
And then it was from then on, it just did not look great. You could tell the boys were, you know, we had to pass the ball because we were without Miles Christian, we're without Ethan Holub. So we were down there on the running backs, and we just couldn't get any flow going with the running game. In fact, we might as well run through this.
Gacy.
The leading rusher was Gavin Sorgenfrey with 16 yards, and he had one carry.
That was on one carry.
Aiden Boston just could not get it going. He had 11 carries, minus 10 yards. Yeah. Garrett had a one run for 5 yards. Everett Gacy had 7 runs for eight yards. And then Wyatt Ham, who, you know, we kind of thought was going to be the bell cow,
had
three carries for 1 yard. So never established the run. And when you cannot run the ball, it's just like any other thing. If you can't pass the ball or can't run the ball, the other team knows what's coming, and they start teeing off, and their defense gets on the sidelines and start talking about it. And you could see they knew that we were going to throw the ball, and they were coming after us.
I mean, you look at it, we had 24 plays in a game.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of three and outs.
Exactly. It's a lot of three and outs. It does a couple things. It puts a ton of pressure on your defense because that means that they're on the field a majority of the time. And the other side is it gives you no ability to catch rhythm on offense.
Yeah.
Again, you go three and out or you have that bad penalty, an interception, whichever. But there was a lot of things that just stalled out drives for Tipton. And you're right. We could just not get something going. You look at, Anamosa had 57 plays, I believe. So you just look at the play difference. They were able to establish an offense. They were able to establish a little bit of a run game with that Austin Scranton. I mean, not a little bit, 20 rushes for 170 yards.
Yeah, he impressed me. He's obviously a strong runner. They like to get him to the outside, and then he likes to take on cornerbacks and folks that aren't up the middle. I felt like we contained him all right, and then he'd get the couple breakaways, which a lot of that rushing is from those breakaways. But when you look at his numbers, 20 rushes, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, he averaged 9 yards a carry. That's going to win you football games.
Absolutely.
When you're able to do that.
Yes, it will.
His brother, who had a big old club on his hand.
Oh, really?
I wanted someone to put their helmet on the club. He was annoying me.
Concussion.
He was annoying me because he has this huge club, and yet he was still getting the ball. He had 9 carries for 60 yards. The one that frustrated me the most is he actually caught 2 balls with this club.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
he caught a couple passes. So
I did watch game film, but I watched mostly our defense.
And one of them was a touchdown. Film. That was the frustrating one. So
man,
the
is,
kid with one
is
hand
tough.
Is catching.
That is tough.
But he's a talented kid. We're going to see, potentially see him next year.
Yep.
Luckily, Austin will be gone, so that's the last we should face him. Their quarterback did look pretty impressive. He kind of picked us apart to the tune of 140 yards. He had 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, those 2 picks by Jason were enormous in the moment.
And like you said, Jason returned one nearly to the house. So he had 2 picks for 44 total return yards, and the second one was only about 4 yards worth.
I think the film is showing the Tigers, we have a couple plays where we're really breaking on the ball nicely, and we have others where we're just indecisive. And when you're indecisive on defense, you're in between, and you could see us in between where we did make the tackle once they caught it, but we just weren't breaking on the ball. And so that ball's out. We need to be breaking on that so we're there on contact when they catch it, and instead we're allowing some easy catches.
I had an old defensive coordinator in JUCO. We were watching game film against the team, and I was inside linebacker, and I had to cover the flats. And I noticed it a little bit too late. I thought the quarterback was going to run, rolled out to run. But I had a flat receiver behind me, and I was caught there right in the middle of no man's land. Right, I was in the halfway between both. Wasn't guarding.
It's called the honey hole.
Well, I was. It was a. It was a. You know what? Or get off the pot is what he yelled at me. And it was one of those. If you're gonna make a mistake, make it at 100%. So choose one.
Yep.
Figure it out. Break on the ball. If you're gonna go at 100%. And find a way to make a play. And that's what this team needs right now. From what I watched on film. Again, I look at defensive stats. Wyatt Ham had a huge game. 8 tackles, 5 solo. Jason Johnson, 7 tackles, 5 solo, 2 picks. Peyton Crock, 6 tackles, 4 solo. Oakley Cruz continues to impress on the defensive side. 5 tackles, 3 of them solo. Oakley gets in there and gets the job done. Jacob Langley, arguably one of his best games on defense. We've got guys out there that are making plays. You don't like to see, obviously, your two defensive backs leading your tackle stats.
Yep.
But I know we've got guys that want to hit. We've got guys that seek out the contact, that are following plays fairly well. We just have to – what we need to do, 7 points will hardly ever win you a football game. Hardly ever. Very seldom will 7 points win you a football game.
And that was coming off of a pick.
Oh, right. Essentially. That was good, setting up good field position. So realistically, we need to figure out our offense. If nothing else, to give our defense something to fight for. Something to live for and a rest a little bit.
Yeah, this overall, I mean, I can't really blame the offense or the defense on this one because both were sputtering. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at this is from a passing standpoint. You know, Aiden had 55 yards. He was under attack quite a bit on the night. Yep. His release was to go outside, and Anamosa had it scouted. They were having guys basically the ends were coming down on him, and so he just had nowhere to go. Whereas usually when nothing's there, he gets outside the pocket, gets 8 yards. He could not get that going, and I just felt like he was flustered and didn't quite know where to go with the ball. On those, I would love to see some screens. I would love to see us some nice quick passes. Maybe the reads for him needs to be, let's make that quick pass. Let's get 3 yards. Let's get 4 yards.
Yep.
We need to move the ball, period.
Yeah, we have to move the ball.
55 yards passing, and then you look at our rushing.
20-some yards.
I think at half it was -9. You got to be moving in positive direction.
To 24 rushes for 20 yards.
Yeah, And I would love to say Anamosa is the reason why that happened. I'm not sure if we played them 10 times that we'd win 5 of them.
Right.
But we would be in the game, I think, if we played that game over again. I think just knowing what they ran and being able to game plan on the fly. Anamosa, I see them losing more games. But that is a good team. That's a team that's probably going to contend for the district.
Sure.
I think they will most likely make the playoffs the way looking at all the other teams. Yeah. So that is not a bad loss. You look at where we're at with it. Obviously, we talked about it on the podcast. This was an extremely important game if we wanted to stay in playoff contention. The Tigers, for the listeners that's listening to this and if there's any players, you really have one of three things, just thinking about it. You have one, you can quit. You can say, hey, the season's over with.
Roll over and die.
I'm not having fun anymore, so I don't want to do this.
Yep.
You've seen a lot of kids throughout the years do that.
Absolutely.
Doesn't bode well for anything. I played with some that did that. It's not something I'm a fan of.
Yep.
Your second option is the option that's the easiest. It's the option that you're going to see majority of teams in our spot that we're in. It's what you're going to see most teams do. And it's kind of feel sorry for yourself. Maybe there's some complaining about, players and coaches and, your parents are, hey, what's going on? And it's
a go through the motions mentality.
Get through the season.
Just going to get through the season, call it good, move on to basketball, move on to whatever's next, move on to wrestling.
That is the easy button. It really is. It's the easy button.
It is.
I could easily see how that would be the way that, kid would want to go. Because your expectations of what we thought this year would be and where we're at probably aren't met yet.
Right? Absolutely.
It's just not there.
Yep.
And so that's, maybe what's going on right now this week is what we're finding. The best option, and option three, is you still have 2, potentially 3 games left, maybe more if you make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You have the potential to still make the playoffs here.
It's a wild one. Statistically, you can still make the playoffs.
It's a wild one. I'll walk through that here in a little bit, but it's doable.
Yep.
You have Northeast coming to your home field at Dedrickson Field this week.
They are
undefeated senior night. And this is a team that is feeling like they're going to come and walk all over you. That's a prideful thing where it says, no, we're going to knock you off the division or district champ, basically. Hey.
Vanderbilt, Alabama.
That's right.
Like, do crazy things happen? Crazy things happen. We are set up, to me, in a perfect position to do something crazy, like knock off an undefeated team right now. And so, yes, Northeast comes in 5-0, 6-0, 6-0, sorry.
6-0.
6-0. I've watched a couple of their games on tape. They do a lot of things right. Don't get me wrong. That quarterback's fairly impressive.
Fairly?
He's very impressive. You're going to see something with him that you did not see with that Deers or Veers or whatever his name is for Anamosa. And that is
running back that plays quarterback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he'll sling it downfield, though. So he still has an arm. But our ability to contain him dictates our ability to win this game.
Correct.
So if you go back to your one of three options, if you choose option three, have some pride, fight for 500, because guess what? This team can still be 500 or plus if we make a playoff game, mm-hmm. right? We could go 4-4 in the regular season if we show up and do the right thing. My deal is, like I said, have a little bit of pride. Think about the time and effort you put into the weight room over the summer, over the last couple summers, four summers if you're a senior, to get to this point, to be in your final two games of the regular season of your senior year. And what does it mean to you to go out and put on a good show? Is that really worth going through the motions just to get through the next season? I look at our rushing numbers right now. Again, 24 attempts for 20 yards against Anamosa. If I'm an offensive lineman, I'm pissed. I'm pissed. Are we down to the third string running back? Yep. Absolutely. I totally get it. And there's excuses that sit all over the place. But how much time did Aiden have all day long? Not a ton. And was Aiden able ever to really break contain and get out of the pocket? No, not really. That's why he had negative 11 yards.
Yep.
And was only 50% passing. Realistically, offensive line, and I was there. I was an offensive lineman in high school for four straight years. You got to look at yourself in the mirror this week and say, am I going to do my job this Friday night? If you do your job and you win the battle, the guy across from you that you line up next to or against, if all five of you guys do that, this game has a really cool outcome.
It does. This is not a Monticello from last year where you felt like we would have to play the perfect game just to be in it.
Oh.
This is a beatable team. It really is.
I watched the film of West Liberty against Northeast this last week. West Liberty went up 14-0 like that right away. They had all the momentum. West Liberty looked like they did against us times 10.
Yep.
Northeast had no answer for them. Couldn't stop them. They couldn't move the ball against West Liberty. We've played West Liberty. We know what that team can do and what it looks like. We looked better against West Liberty than Northeast did. Until, guess what? A stupid turnover. Two stupid turnovers by West Liberty, actually.
Yep.
So that's what it takes in one of these games. I say this every week. This is a beatable team. Just look at, we have to have a spy on the quarterback. We have to contain that quarterback. That's all there is to it. We contain him. We control this game. That's it.
Yeah. So back to the last option. You know, what does that look like? Obviously, we're on a Monday night. You still have all week. It is coming with a bunch of energy. A lot of it's energy. It's got to be positive energy in practice.
Yep.
You are bringing it as if this is your final game you're ever going to play, and you're going to enjoy the heck out of it. And that's my last comment to this is enjoy the heck out of it, because these are lasting memories. You don't want it to be a memory where it's misery. And, you know, the outcome of these games really don't have any effect on your career or, you know, what's going to happen post high school. So enjoy it.
Absolutely. And I was back home Friday night to watch my old high school. My dad and I were sitting on the porch before the game talking about high school football from the late 90s. Yep. I mean, like, it's something that – and it's a joy. Like, it's something that we both had a blast with. He had fun watching. I had fun playing. This is – it's something that you're going to remember forever. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. This is a fun game, especially when you play it the right way. Yep. And again, but have a little bit of pride in the team that you've built, the team that you're leading, the work you've put in. You owe it to yourself to go out and win the battle across from you.
Yep.
If 11 guys go out and win the battle across from them, we're a really good football team. We have not done that yet.
Yep. So looking at it, Northeast comes in. They are 6-0. Obviously top record. Now it doesn't, the three wins they had outside of the district don't matter. They're technically 3-0, in the district. Tipton's 0-3. Monticello's 1-2. Comanche's 1-2. When I look at it, The way I break it down is if we beat Northeast, that puts us at one win. If we beat Monticello, that puts us at two wins.
Yep.
Monticello, we would hold the tiebreaker over them. Right. Comanche beat Monticello, they'd have the tiebreaker over them.
Yep.
So it comes down to point total against how much you beat the team. Since Monticello beat Comanche 35-7, if we beat Northeast, we beat Monticello, and win by more than 28 points, Tipton is in the playoffs.
I love
so
that.
So there, it's doable. And
I love
and
that.
You know what? it's out there, but the Northeast game, Monticello got beat 48-7 against Northeast.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're beating Northeast, we can easily put it on them as well. And they're obviously not playing for the playoffs going
right.
a year where they went to the playoffs last year, so they're going to be down as well.
Absolutely.
So I definitely see us having a shot if we can win this game, but we got to be laser focused on Northeast. And I say that because this is a really good football team. I personally think they're going to win the district based off of what I'm seeing. They've got a guy named Gavin Kramer, a senior, and we've faced some good quarterbacks all year. This will be the best quarterback we face all year. And when I say dual threat, he does both for this
Absolutely
team.
Absolutely does.
He has 1,000 yards rushing already on the season, Clint. We still have two more games left.
I'm here to tell you, I'm looking at their stats right now. I don't think
he averages 10 yards per carry as a quarterback.
I don't think they've even loaded the West Liberty stats yet.
When your quarterback, no, they haven't. When your quarterback has 1,000 yards rushing and he's your quarterback, that's impressive. He also has 800 yards passing with 12 touchdowns. And to your point, that's without the West Liberty game.
I watched the West Liberty game on film, and he ran all over West Liberty. Yeah. Those rushing yards are going to go way up for
him. So it's going to take 11 guys laser focused on one player.
Yep. Yep.
And you say, go ahead and beat us, you know, these other players they have. Santiago de la Cruz, number 4, is a running back who him and Grant Gray are the two running backs that get the ball besides Kramer.
Yep.
So we've got to have double spies. We've got to have blitzing linebackers. And the problem is, even having a good sound defense, it takes all guys to take him down.
He's a big kid, and he's got a point of contact spin move. So, again, if you're a player listening to this, a point of contact spin move, almost always to the outside. Be ready for something like that.
Yep.
Again, it's have some grip strength. If you get hands on him, get him down, hang on for dear life, because he is someone that, I watched the entire West Liberty game and a little bit of, I can't remember who they were playing, but I never saw them outside of a 4-receiver set. I never saw him take a center or a snap from center, so he took a shotgun the entire time. And every snap that I saw, I never even saw Santiago de la Cruz out there. It was only Grant Gray, number 44. They didn't run him all that much. One of their bread and butter plays is they lull you to sleep with a couple passes, and then he does this drop back counter quarterback go, where he just heads up the middle, and it's essentially a really nice counter play with just a quarterback and not using your running back.
So if you don't strap it up against this kid.
Yeah.
And you don't come prepared to be basically very physical with him. His week one matchup, we talked about it already on the podcast. I'm going to repeat it just because it's one of the more incredible things I've ever heard. As a quarterback, this is not a running back. This is their quarterback.
Right.
As the quarterback against Bellevue in week one, he ran it 16 times for 297 yards and 6 touchdowns. Now, that already is hero ball, but he also threw for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he had 9 touchdowns by himself.
Yeah.
Against Bellevue. Now Bellevue is a smaller school, but they're nothing to they've held their own this season. So
Absolutely.
We have to come ready and prepared. I've been impressed with this kid last year. He gave it to us last year as well.
And so if there's players listening that want that good comparison game to see what this looks like, Comanche. Northeast played Comanche September 20th, it looks like, and won 35-25 in a really, really close game. That was with a late touchdown in that game, too. And you look at how Tipton played Comanche. Here's the deal is, that was the last time that Northeast went on the road. This is only their third road game of the year. I think that they went into that Comanche game kind of thinking, we've got Comanche.
Yep.
And I have a feeling they'll come into Tipton thinking the same darn thing. And so I do see the stars aligning for the possibility to take this team down, mostly because they're overconfident. They're not used to playing on the road. They haven't played well on the road from everything I see here yet, outside of the Bellevue game. And
a lot of their games have been close. I mean, they've been within a touchdown. Yeah, they're not
blowing people
West Liberty,
out.
Reminder, they beat West Liberty by 1 point.
Yeah.
Macocada was
super close. Central DeWitt, which is not a good
to your point, team. We're down 21-13 at half against West Liberty. The stats are loaded. Kramer had 120 yards passing, one touchdown. He got him on the ground, 177 yards.
See?
He had 10 yards of carry with three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Big, long, 56-yard play. Colby Gray is the guy that they're looking for, who's their running back.
Yep, the number 44.
So you got to keep an eye on him.
Decent-sized kid. He is. There's a lot of matchup issues with this team. It was this way with West Liberty, and it was this way again with Anamosa. We are going to have to make open field solo tackles. I was talking to the coach of South Hardin after the game, after the loss to Grundy Center, and he was saying something that's very true. Sometimes it just takes players to go out and make plays.
Yep.
So if you're Tipton, if you're Wyatt Ham, if you're Aiden Boston, if you're Jacob Boedeker, if you're Jacob Barton, if you're Gavin Sorgenfrey, people that are going to be getting the ball, they're going to have the ball in their hands. Go make a play. Like, you've got to go make a play for your team. It's not time to fall down in the first hit. It's not time to get tackled with a couple arm tackles. It's time to actually go lay the wood and make a play for your team, because we need it more than ever. We need it right now.
Yeah, and like I said, this seniors, this is your last home game. Have some pride. I can't wait to see this, because I think we're going to give them everything they can handle. And if we get to the fourth quarter where we're in the game within 7 points or up. Yep. I think Northeast is going to sweat a little bit. I think they're going to say, wow, we were expecting to roll over these guys.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't happen. If we can get them to punt, they've got a punter that averages 28 yards a punt.
Let's get them to punt.
They don't punt very often.
That's not very good.
That's not very good. And so they also don't typically, they're kicking. They have a decent kicker, but he doesn't kick field goals. So I feel like if we can really contain this Gavin Kramer, we have a real shot in this game.
Absolutely. Let's go out and get it.
Perfect. All right, so let's move into some other sports. We already know that this is a big game for the Tigers. It is going to be senior night. We'd love for you to come out and support Tipton football players, but I know swimming, I believe, and cross country will also be there, the seniors. We got a great senior class of both. Obviously, two of our best cross country runners of all time, Noel Steinis and Clay Bowman, are going to be announced as senior night. So love to have you guys out there. Talking a little cross country, there's not a lot to report since the last podcast because we haven't had a meet. We have a meet tomorrow up in Manchester at the golf course there. Don't expect many to be out there to it, but
no,
it's a fun one.
As a spectator, you got to make sure you cross that bridge before the runners do.
Yeah, otherwise you got to get down.
That's a pretty pain point, right there.
Yeah. But no, I just want to talk real quick about overall, like. It's kind of shaping up in the season where they're going to, next week, they come out with the district pairings where we're going to go. Kind of hoping for Monticello just because we know the course. It's close.
Sure.
But the way it's looking, and this is just full transparency, how I think it's going to go, the 2A girls we'll talk about first. I have Mid Prairie winning the whole thing. They just got one of their top runners back, and they have two sophomores and two freshmen.
They were dynamite, without one of their top runners.
And she's back. And so you put her now in the lineup, and they are stacked, completely stacked. And they're not only stacked this year, they're stacked next year as well as the year after. And so there's some problems there with Mid Prairie. I have them winning the whole thing. And then there's kind of this grouping between Forest City, Unity Christian, Orange City, Van Meter, and Tipton. And then Sumner, Fredericksburg. Those are the kind of the top six. Maybe Hudson's in there as well.
We do know where state qualifier is going to be.
We don't yet. That's next week. Okay. We'll find that out next week. So, our goal is to get up there on the old deck, which is the top three finish.
Yes.
We've done that. I think 2021 was the last time for girls.
Yeah.
I think it's doable. It's going to take some career best, but I think we can do it. And on the boys' side, Tipton's ranked around 15, 14, depending on what ranking you look at. It is absolutely stacked. It's going to be very, very difficult. In fact, almost impossible to get up on the deck for the boys. I hate to deflate them, but right. You have Okoboji, Forest City, Unity Christian, Orange City, Olwine, Mid Prairie, who was state champs last year, Denver, Spirit Lake. Just there's too many to deal with, and unfortunately for us, if we get in that top 10 ranking, I think that'd be a huge win.
That's pretty good.
It'd be a great boost for us, but we'll see. Starting tomorrow, we're starting to taper after this meet. Yeah. So you kind of get ready. You got North Lynn on Saturday, and then it's get ready for districts and state, and
postseason's coming.
It's wild.
Postseason's coming. I was looking, and I'll update volleyball here. I was looking at the volleyball schedule. The final regular season game is Thursday night.
Dang.
At Comanche.
Because then they do like a conference tournament on the north and south.
They'll do a south tournament, then a north tournament, then they'll do a combined tournament. And then they'll do first round of postseason.
Gotcha.
So volleyball, we've had, five games since our last podcast. Volleyball tends to fit a few more in than cross country does. Yeah. On the year, Tipton's 8-18, fifth in the conference. We're still headed to Durant and West Branch in the conference. We played Mid Prairie last Thursday. Mid Prairie's number 8.
They're good.
In the state. Very, very good. Beat us 3-0. Then we went to a tournament. Western Dubuque was where
we're going to be tomorrow.
Well, there you go.
Manchester.
So you're in West Delaware.
True. West Delaware, not Western Dubuque. Sorry.
We did get to, we lost to Wapsie Valley in the first game, but then we got to play the number one team in the state and potentially, I would say a top team in the country. We played Mount Vernon, and you want to talk about a stat? I didn't see a girl on the starting six that was under 6'3", 6'4". They were the tallest, biggest Iowa team I've ever seen. And Chloe, I think it's Chloe Meester.
Chloe Meester. You know where her dad is?
Brad Meester.
A Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah, played for 14 seasons in the NFL.
Now is the head coach of Mount Vernon.
Former UNI Panther, too. So,
football coach.
Yeah, head football coach of Mount Vernon. Either way, they were just impressive to watch. I actually think that we played them really nice. I was telling you earlier, I don't know, that Meester girl kept coming right after Liv Tucker. I think Liv Tucker dug out 75% of what was hit at her. I thought she did a fantastic job. And there was one that this Chloe Meester hit at Liv that I didn't even see the ball that was going. So if I didn't know a ball, it should be deflated by the time it got to Liv. Liv Tucker dug it out and had a nice perfect pass on it. And
I watched them, and this is I'll get off topic here. I was getting my vehicle serviced at Lynch Ford there in Mount Vernon earlier this summer, and I was like, I'm bored, I'm going to go for a walk. So I walked up by the high school. Well, they have a sand volleyball pit, and there was probably 40 kids playing sand volleyball, and I just was walking by them. I'm like, who are these people? Is this Cornell?
Is this is the Olympic team training?
And I started talking to someone who was watching it, and they said that the head adrenaline, which is a club volleyball coach, that is their head coach. And so this is third and long. We tell how it is. I've heard there's some recruiting going on at Mount Vernon. They grabbed Sydney Hubler from Xavier.
Oh, jeez.
There's some other girls, younger girls that they've grabbed. Some Lindmar girls. I think there's some recruiting with their club volleyball coach. I don't like it, but it is what it is.
They're insane. I will say a comment. I was sitting next to Ryan Dadlow, and we lost our first set 21-5. And I actually looked at Ryan Dadlow, and I said, you know, for 21-5, I actually feel like we played pretty well. Because we did. We actually gave him some really nice volleys. For a 2-0 set loss against Mount Vernon, I was actually really impressed with how we played against them. I really thought we showed up, and we did end the day with a win against Cascade.
Gotcha.
So we beat Cascade in 3 sets.
Well, good. So, that's a conference team. We might face them in the tournament. So that's
absolutely
a good way to end
it. And like I said, we finish out the regular season at Comanche on Thursday night.
All right, very good. All right, Clint. So we don't even have the paper, so we don't know the picks. But I think we did better. We went through and kind of picked our own games out.
Agreed.
But how did we do last week? Do you have that by chance?
I do. Okay. I do. We.
I got another one on you.
Yes.
God. Woo!
You had a heck of a week. 15-3 last week.
I'm going to have to start putting some money on some
15-3. I went 13-5. I actually felt pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Until I saw your 15-3.
All right.
So you have a 5-game lead on me now. You're 73-34.
This could be over with.
This could seal it, right?
Unless
here.
We go into basketball or something. This is gonna happen.
This could seal it right here.
So let's see what we got. We went through and picked high school, college, and pro, and I think we have a pretty awesome slate where if I go 500, I'm gonna be pretty happy.
Absolutely.
So let's start us off. Probably the worst game out of all these, Regina against Beckman, but it's a favorable matchup. What do you got? I'll start us off.
It's the Catholic matchup.
That's a good point. Give me Regina.
All right.
Too much for Beckman.
I have to go Regina as well on this.
All right. And then West Branch playing for their under 500 mark against Wilton. Have they beat anyone? Has Wilton beat anyone? They beat Beckman, but have they done anything else? I don't know. This would be a good matchup to see. Wilton against West Branch. What do you got?
I have to go West Branch on this. I know this sounds crazy. I don't know if Wilton has beat anybody. That's what they did to Beckman's the reason I picked Regina over Beckman. West Branch has too much pride, too much tradition. I think they show up to play this game. I'm going West Branch.
Give me Wilton. Leave it to the Beaver to win this thing. Beat West Branch.
Perfect.
All right. So we got Durant against Cascade. That's kind of a throw-in garbage game, but
that is a garbage game.
I don't know why we picked that.
Ooh, I'm trying to think. I'll go first. I'm going to say Durant.
Okay, I will go Cascade on that one. Game of our week, Tipton against Northeast. I will start us off here. I picked Anamosa last week.
You did.
I was hoping that would fire him up. It did not.
Right.
I honestly believe Tipton has a shot in this thing, and I think we will be in it. But I am trying to win this pick'em. I'm going Northeast.
I figured you would. I already wrote Tipton down for me.
Good for you.
I haven't skipped him yet.
All right. The third picks of the week, Loaiza Muscatine against Highland. Real quick trivia question. How many touchdowns has Loaiza Muscatine scored this year?
Zero against us.
There's quite a few zeros in there. They've scored two of them against one of the teams and another, so they've had three total touchdowns all year. Highland's not much better, but I'm picking Highland.
I just say, I feel like you shoved me into Highland there. I'm going to go Highland.
So two more high school games. No Postville, no Bellevue.
No Starmont.
North Starmont.
No Northland.
Let's go. What do we got here? We got West Liberty against Monticello.
Yep.
I'll let you go first.
I got to go West Liberty on this. I think what happened to them at Northeast, missed extra point on almost the last play of the game to tie it. I got to go West Lib.
West Liberty is playing for their playoff life. I will go West Liberty as well.
Perfect.
All right, next game, Solon against Williamsburg. This is easily the best game of the week in high school.
Without a doubt.
Now, Solon lost on a last-second touchdown to Benton Community. Literally a 60. They hadn't thrown the ball all game. They threw a 62-yarder over the top, and he got behind them and scored for the win. Solon's running back was out that game. I think he's going to be back. I'm going to talk about Williamsburg for what I learned this week. But I am going Williamsburg because of that.
I have Williamsburg written down already. Okay. I can't remember that kid's name, that number two or whatever.
We're going to talk about him here in a second, so I'm not going to get away. It's Race Heitman.
Yep.
Iowa against Washington.
Oh, man. Go Hawks.
Okay. Give me Washington. Just try to beat you here.
Oh, man.
That's at home, too. That's a tough one for me to pick Washington.
I was going
to
say, what are you doing?
We got two guys transferring out. The team is fracturing. Ohio State against Oregon. That is probably the game of the week in Big Ten in the National League. This has big time ramifications.
Heck of a game.
I wasn't overly impressed with Ohio State. I'm going Oregon.
I have Oregon written down here too, mostly because I'm not entirely sure Ohio State can keep up with Oregon.
No.
Oregon's going to run them out of the stadium.
Ohio State hasn't been tested. Oregon's just, I think, a little more talented. I think.
Yep.
I don't want to say talented because I think Ohio State's extremely talented, but they did not impress me, even though they put a schlocking on Iowa.
Agreed.
Next game will be a great one. Kansas State against Colorado. It's at Colorado.
I know what you're going.
Boy, give me Kansas State.
I said, you got to go KSU. man, I hate to just be the same as you, but I got to go KSU on this as well. Brendan Mott.
There you go.
At least two sacks on Shador Sanders.
His goal, he wants to pound. He does not like Sanders. Good. So a little insider information, he is going to put the hurting on Shador Sanders.
Good. Let's make it happen.
All right. USC Penn State.
I'm going to go USC on this.
I will go USC as well. They're coming off a couple tough losses there. They need this one. Yeah. Texas, Oklahoma, the old Big 12 rivalry in the SEC.
Red River rivalry.
This one's, I think, pretty easy. You got number one. Ewers is maybe coming back.
No.
Texas.
I agree. Texas. Texas all day on this one.
All right, you're 5-0 or 6-0? 5-0. Iowa State Cyclones against West Virginia. We keep saying there's all these trap games, but they win them.
They keep winning them. I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to stick with Iowa State.
Give me West Virginia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh.
Yeah. Jacksonville Jaguars against Chicago Bears.
Of course the Bears.
Jacksonville really needs a win here.
Trevor needs a win.
Give me Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, my Lord.
Bears can't keep winning like they are.
They won like one game.
They keep winning like against these really bad teams. But Jacksonville's not good. They're not good either. All right, Lions Cowboys.
Yes.
This is like America's teams here. Who we picking?
I'm going Lions. I am.
Oh, thank you.
Lions. I have not been impressed with the Cowboys.
Lions. Good. And then Jets Bills, our final game of the week.
Bills let me down last week. I'm not happy about it.
What's up with that?
But
the Jets couldn't have impressed you.
No, I hate Aaron Rodgers that much. I'm going Bills.
All right. I will go Jets on that one. I think the Jets are due for one. That was a really bad showing against the Vikings.
That there was, yeah. That was not good.
All right, Clint, so we're going to close this thing out. I told you we're going to be short. We're still at 40 minutes, so we got to close this thing up or else we're going to go long.
Yep.
What's something you learned today?
All right, so I thought it was interesting. You brought up a stat last week about West Branch.
Okay.
Potentially having their first losing season since 2001.
Do you have some insider information here?
I don't have insider information. I mentioned this to Brian Tucker, who's Josh Tucker's dad at the volleyball tournament, and he's like,
"I'm sure there's some excuse."
Not.
And, some excuse.
And but it did look that was Josh Tucker's sophomore year,
so he didn't play.
So he probably didn't play. I didn't really quiz Josh Tucker on this, but my guess is he wasn't a massive contributor to that losing season. However, what I did think was interesting is, for one, West Branch has the coolest West Branch football website.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
My God, they have all the stats in there. So I'm sitting there and I'm like,
they broadcast the games. They have live stats. Like it's wild.
And so I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, so if Josh Tucker was in 2001, that means he would have been a senior in 2003. And I remember that Eldora New Providence won the state championship in 2003. Because I was like from up that area, and that's the school my old high school joined with. And so I was like, I wonder if Josh Tucker had to play against Eldora New Providence. Sure enough, Josh Tucker's senior year, if I'm doing all the math right, I'm not confirming this with him, is they played in the semifinal game against Eldora New Providence and lost. The fun fact on this whole thing is that would mean that Josh Tucker's final high school...
We're losing a lot of listeners talking about
Josh Tucker's final high school game was against Eldora New Providence, and guess who my final high school game was in 1999. No, in 1998.
Eldora
New Providence. So wow. I didn't even know that Tipton existed, West Branch existed, any of these existed.
East side of the state was where it was at back in the 90s.
Apparently it was. But it's just odd coincidence.
All right, so what did I learn? I'll start us off. There's the old guy from Williamsburg, and last year there was Derek Wieskoff, who went to Iowa. He's a linebacker currently with Iowa. There was a junior at the time. This is last year.
Yep.
His kid's now a senior, Race Heitman. And he had that amazing stat that we talked about on the podcast.
First game of the year last year or something.
Yep. He had the opening kickoff, pick six, punt return. Basically, the first four possessions were Race Heitman scoring touchdowns.
Correct.
And I heard he didn't get a homecoming date out. No, I'm just kidding.
He made SportsCenter because
it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I have not followed Williamsburg. I have not looked at much on them until this week because they play Solon. I just wanted to see how they're doing. Like, who the heck do they have now that Wieskoff's gone? Well, Race Heitman last week against Fairfield, He had 10 catches, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns, which made me think, gosh, 4 touchdowns. How is he doing on the year if he's got 4 touchdowns already?
On 10 catches.
Well, Race Heitman has 40 catches, 800 yards receiving, and 16 touchdowns on the season receiving.
Good God.
He is a weapon. Yeah. And so if you're not going to that Tipton football game, I beg you to go to the Solon.
I'm not like a genius mathematician, but that's like 35% of the time he touches the ball, he scores a touchdown.
The kid is a touchdown magnet.
That's amazing.
And I really want to see him again. You know, depending on how the playoffs work, I definitely want to go watch something like this. So we'll maybe get a road trip for Third and Long listeners and go check this thing out. But yeah, I think...
Hey, senior night, Friday night.
Yeah.
Let's get there.
One other thing. We talked about it. Vandy beat Alabama.
Yes.
Did you watch that game at all?
Absolutely did.
As did I.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's never happened before of a top... They've never even beat a top 10 team, I don't think. Right. Or top 5, one of the two.
Yep.
But did you see what happened afterwards? They were really shaking on that goalpost. Did you see what happened? Well, those of you that have ever been to Nashville...
took the goalpost down Broadway.
You got to know that Vanderbilt's campus is like, I think it's 8 miles... Maybe less.
It's a little bit less. But still.
Yes, 3 miles. It's across the river. I mean, it's not like it's like right down the block.
Absolutely.
It's a ways. They tore down that goalpost and carried it across the bridge, down Broadway, and launched it into the water. It was great. I wish I was in Nashville. It really made me jealous.
You know what? Vandy didn't care. The athletic department didn't care.
So,
what a win.
My question for you, Clint. Tipton needs to change the goalpost after the year. If the Tigers knock off, what's
Northeast?
Rebels? Yeah.
Yes,
Rebels. Knock off the Rebels. Those things have been in the ground since, I think, 1930.
Do we take them out and go
to the Cedar River and launch them in there? What's your thoughts?
I don't know
if we're going to get them out. It would take some heavy shaking. I say
I'm
we
in.
Do it.
I'm in.
We don't have any more home games, I don't believe.
You know there's a couple kids in high school that have some cutters in the back
of
their truck.
So I don't want to be held responsible, but I think if we knock off Northeast, let's take down one of them.
I feel like Jacob Langley has like a torch in the back of his truck. All right. We can probably cut those things out of the ground.
So that is the plan. If we beat Northeast, we're taking down a goalpost. Maybe Rock Creek would be better than Cedar River.
Yeah, it's a lot closer.
Well, so that's the plan. So if you're showing up, be prepared.
Let's go.
Let's rush the field, take down the goalpost. Let's have some fun. Seniors, enjoy your senior night.
Let's go,
Tigers. You only get one of these, and I want you to live it up. So
have fun.
All right.